Welcome to the Cannoli Coach Podcast. I'm Kimberly Hambrick, and today I'm joined by Candace Gruber. Candace is the CEO of Candace May Training and Services and a highly sought-after consultant. Candace effortlessly combines the science of effective project management with the art of professional coaching and consulting. Candace, thank you, and welcome to the Cannoli Coach.
Welcome. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here, Kimberly.
I am too. I'm blessed that I'm connected with you, and I learn from you daily on the work we do. So thank you for being a part of my podcast. And if you wouldn't mind, would you share just a little bit about you with our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. I'm Candace May Gruber, owner of Candace May Training and Services, as you said. It is a leadership consultant business. I do individual coaching with C-level executives as well as independent business owners and individuals. But mostly I go into companies and corporations and bring the Maxwell method of leadership, whether that be in communication, developing an understanding of themselves with their personality and communication styles and how to augment teams and embranch and make them better, more dynamic and high performance.
Okay, thank you. And so you heard her say the Maxwell method. So Candace is also a team member with me on the John Maxwell team. And what I will just say to the listeners, not only do you gain your own personal and professional growth, but you get to meet amazing team members like Candace and others that daily inspire me and push me forward. So if not for growing yourself, just join the team to connect with some really great people. So Candace, I always ask my guests if there's a moment or event in their past that shaped them for who they are today. And if you have a thought about that or two, would you mind sharing with us?
That's a very interesting question because I think everything really shapes us every day as to who we are and who we become. It's a journey, right? There's not one event that defines who we are. Though I did grow up in a household where my father was the youngest of 14 and my mom was the only child. So very old family. I'm a first generation from the Appalachian Mountains. My father got to the third grade. My mom was a school teacher with a master's degree. So there was a lot of contrast in our household. My father grew up very in the deep South. So he had very limited beliefs and views, if you will. And so I remember sitting around the table as a child, having discussions and dad, you know, preaching his viewpoint and me being that black sheep of the family stepping out saying, I disagree, right? My mom had a very more liberal view of taking people as they are and accepting them, regardless of who they are. And so I took that approach in my life, much more open-minded, much more accepting and loving to others. So I guess I found my voice at the dining room table, you know, battling with my dad and you know, and my siblings saying, Candy, just go with the flow, just say yes. And I said, I can't just say yes. If I hear someone say something that's contrary to my belief, I cannot just say yes and agree with them to shut them down and go quiet the system because that changes me and who I am inside. So I have been very vocal my whole life. People say, oh, you always speak for us. We can tell you what we want and you'll go out and say it, right? So I guess that's been a defining moment for me at a very early age.
Great. Thank you for that. Did I hear you say that you grew up in the Appalachian Mountains?
I actually grew up in Michigan, okay. Warren, Michigan, 20 miles northeast of Detroit. Though my father did grow up in Sutchess, Georgia, which is in the northern mountains of Georgia. So okay. It's 2 hours north of Atlanta. My mom was from Vincennes, Indiana, a small town. Okay. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to talk a little bit now about your professional journey. As I've said earlier in introducing you, and you talked about it, we're both in the coaching industry. But how did your path lead you there? Would you share a little bit about your professional journey?
Sure, absolutely. I have a passion for personal growth. It must have developed somewhere around the age of 13. So, you know, I've been on a personal growth journey for 40 years. And I think when you're on a personal growth journey for that long, there's certain things that just come natural to you and you think differently, or it's natural part of who you are. And I find now I have to realize when I run into other people who have had no exposure to personal growth, it surprises me that they don't, right? Like, really? Because it's so much a part of who I am. And I realize probably now I have groups of people who are like-minded in the growth realm as well. So it's important for me to stay connected to the rest of the world to see that not everybody is at this point in their lives, and that I do have something to offer them and to bring them and to offer hope and life encouragement to them to grow. So how did I get into my growth journey? Again, probably my 13-ish, when I was struggling with my identity, being a young girl with red hair, standing out in Michigan. You know, there weren't a lot of redheads. I know that might sound funny, but you're different. And when you're different, you're picked on. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's because of your race or whatever. And, you know, people laugh at me when I say, well, as a redhead, there weren't any redheads around, you know, like I was maybe one of two in the whole school, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was something that was distinct and very picked on and very, very much of who I am. And so it did shape me to seek more and figure out more and why was I different and how was I different. And I'm sure that people have those same facets with other races and various things that they deal with as well. So it's funny to say, but I think that's really how it began. I just began searching deeper. Who am I, and how do I fit into this world, and what can I offer more? And there's got to be more.
I thank you for sharing that. I absolutely love that. And I was similar in that I was always tall. You know, I can remember the first or second grade picture. I'm always in the center of the class. I'm like a foot and a half taller than everybody else. And I was picked on. But unlike you, I learned to make myself smaller and keep to myself. And I didn't think about embracing it. So I just, that is such a great message to share, that what makes us different is also what makes us unique and special. And you saw that as a 13 or a 14-year-old. And I'm going to tell you, it took me a whole lot longer to figure that one out.
Well, you figured it out. So that's what counts.
I did. And as you were talking about in terms of personal growth, because when you call yourself a personal growth junkie, I mean, you are. We're in a group together where we're working on our personal growth plan. And, you know, I'm here and you're always over here. And it's just amazing to me how you digest it and apply it so quickly to your work. Yes, no, I appreciate it. And I get what you're saying, because when the light bulb went off inside of me, when I finally understood and fully embraced that I am worth it, that I have so much to give, it's like there's no stopping you. And then you come up on people that don't think that way. And as our role as coaches, you know, we try to help them and facilitate that. But there are some who they're not ready or they don't want to. And you just kind of have to, you know, say, okay. I mean, because, but it's puzzling to me. And that's really why I do what I want to do, because I have had such amazing transformation that I want everybody to have that amazing transformation.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you. So we did talk about that you have your own company. So how long have you been your own CEO?
It's been about 6 or 7 months now, officially with business license in hand. And I moved into Murrieta, California at that time. So it was kind of a big change where I sold my home and moved to another city and got my license and started my business license and branched out. I've been doing this work for a while, for several years. I've been working with John Maxwell's material since the early 2000s when his first book, 21 Laws of Leadership, came out. I was heavily working with that and the 17 Laws of Teamwork. I worked with that with my corporate team that I had at the time and saw tremendous growth in my staff and myself, and results for the company just skyrocketed. So I felt very strongly. I was very active with Stephen Covey's work, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, I was very much into personal growth. So I was putting myself into, you know, extensive programs, the leadership, Ultimate Leadership Conference, which was a week-long retreat where we would go out and do a lot of work. So finding John's work was quite awesome because it fit really well with where I was in my career.
I want to ask a question about that. So when you were in your corporate position and you were doing the leadership development or the professional development, sometimes organizations don't invest in their staff. And when people, you know, even when I was in corporate, we would do something that was maybe a canned program that wasn't really tailored. So when you're talking to organizations now, in the work that you do, what are some of the indicators, if you will, that you can pick up on when you know an organization wants to invest in their staff? Because as you said, you were seeing amazing results with the work you were doing. So I always struggle sometimes when I know an organization can be better if they invest in their team, but they look at that as an extra expense that's not needed.
Yeah, that's unfortunate when they look at it as a not needed expense, because really people are the biggest asset that they have. If they can invest in the people, that's where they're going to see the biggest growth. We have artificial intelligence now, which is amazing in and of itself, but it's going to give you always that same machine response. It doesn't have that emotional connection that we need as people. And we are all unique in everything that we're doing when we're working with our teammates, when we're working with customers, when we're working with vendors. We need to be able to develop that connection with people. And sometimes we need to train people on how to connect with other people. And that's the importance of the taking the investment and developing into your staff and the development of the team and your leaders. We promote people from technical positions that are really good at what they're doing into a leadership position you've done so well, now let's make you head of the team and you can lead everybody else down the path that you've gone. And that may not be possible for them at that moment in time unless you invest in them, because they may not have the people skills. Mm-hmm. Knowing how to do something and then knowing how to train others on how to do something are two very different skill sets.
I so agree. That's something that I see in so many organizations, that when you have that shining star in the technical world and then you advance, and some do quite well. So I don't think either of us are saying that if you're an expert in technical, you can't rise to a leadership role.
Absolutely.
But there are some people, especially in the work that I used to do, that were very content sitting in their office and running numbers and writing reports and didn't want to lead people. And then we would put them in a leadership role and they struggled.
And their people struggled.
Exactly. And sometimes at times the work suffered. Projects could be lost or, you know, damage done. And it's just like, so I really greatly appreciate that you said that, and that you work to address that, especially in the technical fields. You know, artificial intelligence, I'm amazed at what we're able to do and all the great things, but I like that people factor just a little bit, the relational factor of it. So yes.
Yeah, definitely need that connection with people. It's what makes the world go round, right?
Yes, yes. So you had talked about moving to a different place, and then that's when you started and opened your business. Did you have any fears or concerns, or you just knew that was the right thing to do?
That's a great question. I actually had a lot of peace. And I still have a lot of peace. Surprising in some ways. If I were to look at what's going on in my life with someone, a typical person off the street, I don't know if they would understand. Though everyone who knows me has been extremely supportive in my move. They have 100% belief in me that everything is going to blossom and grow. So that is reassuring also, but it's not from the people that I get my assurance. It's actually from my relationship with God, where I get my direction and my peace. I had a beautiful home. I had a wonderful career. I had been married, and I'm single at this point, but my last husband had said, you know, you need to, we're going to retire. It's 55 for you. And that way I was a year older than him, and that would give me time to really travel the world with him as an executive CIO for a worldwide company. And then I would be able to pursue my encore career, which was always to go into training and teach others. That was always my plan. And when my husband decided to leave, I had great peace in my life, in the situation. He said, you know, we're extremely compatible. Let's continue to date. And I said, I can't date you. If we're not going to stay married, then I'm certainly not going to date you. Mm-hmm. But because I have more value in myself than that. And he felt a little overwhelmed with some circumstances with the kids in my family, the struggles they were going through. And I believe you don't throw people away. You know, people may have emotional issues or mental health challenges. You love them. You help them. You give them the tool set that they need to move forward. And you keep going. You don't just walk away from people because it was a difficult situation. He would say, you have such strength that you're able to thrive in difficult situations, and I can't handle that. And I had to bid him well, and I still love him. That's great. I wish him well. But I love my children as well. And I believe that was a challenge. And I think people oftentimes in life can run into a situation like this and face a lot of shame and a lot of guilt, and it can totally put them in a dead stop in their track, thinking, oh, well, I've been rejected, or how can I help other people when maybe I have a family member who's struggling with some issues of their own. And, you know, that's just part of life. And there's so many people who are in this situation. And all I can say is grab a hold of your faith and believe in yourself. Believe that you matter and you have something to offer. And when you can be strong in yourself and in your faith, you can lift the people around you and your family. You don't give up on people, but you don't let that stop you either. You keep moving.
Thank you, Candace. That so much value in what you're saying. And I had a similar path, you know, forward. I mean, I think where my life is now is not where I thought my life would be, but you roll with it. And not only do you not give up on family, we've had, you know, some roller coaster bumps with our kids as well, but don't give up on yourself. I was in a situation where it appeared to me that others were giving up on me, and truths, half-truths, whatever was circulating, it doesn't matter. I wasn't giving up on me. And so it was the best decision that I made. And like you, I think a lot of people probably thought I had lost my mind. You know, I was having a midlife crisis. Or when I started this podcast, one of the funniest things, when I started the podcast, some of the people that I used to work with had reached out to me and they were all worried about me and making sure I was okay because, you know, my podcast is The Canola Coach and I'm talking about how great it is. And then it dawned on me. They think that's what I'm doing for a living. And it's like, that's not what I'm doing for a living. And I'm well. And so I had maybe a split second of doubting my decision, of showing up at work and all of a sudden I'm resigning. And the next morning I woke up and it was like, what the hell? And that was it. That was it. Because I'd made the decision. I knew I mattered and I knew I was worth it. And I was strong enough and I was going to figure it out just like you are. So I get that sense of peace. I have been in my own business a little bit longer, but I get that sense of calm and that sense of peace. And when you get there and when you know in your own heart that what you're doing is what you're supposed to do and meant to do, all the other noise doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So thank you. That's wonderful. Well, Candace, what are some of the things that you're seeing with your clients? So maybe some trends in terms of coaching or training that you're working with them on?
I've had some great opportunities. I worked with a large hospital here, and they had a very wonderfully dynamic group, a lot of strength in them. That's always reassuring to see a leader who is investing in themselves. And, you know, you can look at their bookshelf and talk about what they're doing to grow themselves and how they grow their team. And then it's interesting because as you work with them more closely, and we play like the leadership game where you could actually see the team interact and so forth. And I took notes and, you know, and observed the interactions of people in the comments and the insights when I got back with the leader to share the insights of the team. They were amazed at the depth of what I saw. And all of a sudden, this leader just opened up and started sharing, you know, some experiences that they'd had with a team member who was no longer there and some challenges that we're facing. Those aren't things that they normally would reveal, right? But they felt that sense of trust in caring from me, that I had this ability to see a deeper sense into the team and dynamics and share some tips. That's always rewarding. Another group I'm working with is a nonprofit, and they're a leadership group coming together with a foundation to help veterans. And so they're individual entrepreneurs in and of themselves, but this core group is come together to have a bigger project, a bigger mission in life. Several of them are veterans. And so they want to give back as a connecting resource to other veterans to thrive. And working with them is quite fun with the DISC personality communication assessment to see how they're each very different. Several of them have an I as a secondary influencing out personality piece, which I think helps tie them together, but they're very fun. And as we become aware of their strengths, we can really augment this team to make it very strong, very strong, where one person is strong in an area where in analytics, maybe, or someone else is not. And you can really see what their strengths are. The Maxwell method of the DISC assessment actually points out 7 leadership qualities and where you rate on a chart of, you know, percentage and growth and strength areas. So it's really nice to know what your core team members have as strengths so that you can know exactly who to plug in where. And it takes a lot of the guesswork out.
Exactly. And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, going in to work with a leadership team, either an existing one or one that's forming, I think sometimes people think when a consultant comes in to work with them, that there are going to be massive changes or people are going to leave. And that's not what it's about. It's what you were just talking about. It's looking beneath the surface a little bit more and understanding what skills and strengths each bring to the table and maybe doing some minor tweaking of that. So that somebody who is better skilled in an area where somebody is struggling, they take on that role, not the big role. It's just that skill set. And like you, I have seen such amazing growth when people take time where the leader and the team take a moment to pause and talk about and think about their differences and their strengths. And the end result is so much better than when you first went in. So,
and what's the, well, the key is not just taking an assessment like that. It's so much fun to say, oh, this targeted me right on. It's spot on. It's like me to, you know, to the T. One of them was really fun to do because their personality style was an attainer and an SD. Now, and I am an attainer, but I'm an SID. Which are those are the characteristics of the personality. I don't want to get too technical here, but the point being is to see that we have very similar ratings, to look at this 32-page report that came out, they were very different too, because our plot points on the graph were different in different elements. And so her do's and don'ts or communication were not identical necessarily to mine. Her strengths were not identical to mine. It's not a canned report. And so my point being is sometimes we take these reports and go, oh, this is so much fun. Oh, this was great. And they plop it in a folder and we put it away in a drawer and we never look at it again. But what this, what the power comes with the Maxwell method of the DISC is we've taken John Maxwell's leadership principles, those 21 laws, and pull them into the report. And so that it shines out what your strengths in leadership are and what your growth areas are, and gives you actually a growth plan and how to define a growth plan that's unique to you. And so if you actually can take it, and you can take it with your team members, and you can actually look at the team and see who's got what strengths, and when you can actually apply it in your everyday process and actually practice these different how to communicate differently to other people so that you're connecting with them, that's where the beauty comes in, and that's where the strength comes in, that's where coaching comes in.
Exactly.
Because, you know, being able to spend time with somebody and assess the situations that you're in and kind of get some, you know, feedback or thought processes that, how do I repackage this? Or what are my strengths? And, you know, it's a process. It's a wonderful process when you're in it and you can actually apply it.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for that extra detail. And you had mentioned the communication aspect a couple of times. And that's one of the unique things with the Maxwell method of DISC, because I was working with a team. It was a small team, maybe 8 people, but there was going to be a new 3-tiered leadership team. And once they saw how everybody else was, and then they looked at how to communicate, they started to realize where some of the issues were. So, for example, if somebody is a D, they're directive, they just want the details. They don't need all those other things. Just, I'm going to say Candace, blah, 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 and that's it. And this one person that I was talking to had said, that explains so much and why I struggle to communicate with this employee, because this person was a high D and this person was had no D in them. And about a month later, the person sent me an email and said, when I'm talking to X, I realize I can't talk like I like to be talked to. I have to communicate in a way that this person communicates. And that right there saves so much stress in an organization. Yes.
Exactly. So if you've heard of the platinum rule, for a long time I hadn't. I grew up with the golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. And that was the golden rule. And then all of a sudden this platinum rule, what is the platinum rule? The platinum rule is do unto others as they want to be done unto. And that is in this communication process, we need to learn that, well, we want to be true to myself and I just want to say, this is how I am and this is how I speak and that's just it. Take it or leave it. And well, there's great. You want to be authentic and congruent, but you want to be authentic and caring too. And if I can be authentic in who I am and realize that you are a very directive, dominant person and you want just to get to the bottom line, you don't want a lot of fluff and details about my dog. So I'm just going to give you straight bottom line information. I can still be authentic and congruent to myself, but package it in a way that meets your needs. And somebody who is an influencer, very social, maybe they want me to ask about their day and start and give them a moment to feel that they're needed and wanted and worthy enough that I would ask how their day is. So that doesn't take away from who I am. That honors the other person. So I think it's really helpful to become better aware of who you are and better aware of who the people are in your life, whether that be in your family, in your community, or in your work environment or a volunteer organization.
That's just your platinum rule is golden. I absolutely love that, and I so appreciate your follow-up details to that, because it's not about not being authentic. Always be authentic, but it's also be aware of the people that you're speaking with and talking to and get to know them. And that, you know, from a leadership perspective, is so important. Sometimes leaders forget that they have a team of people who are following them and don't invest in getting to know them. And it doesn't take a lot to care for your employees. So
that's true. And what I wanted to point out there is a lot of people have had bad experiences in jobs. They've had a bad boss. Maybe they had some great boss. There are a lot of wonderful people out there who are great bosses, who are really taking responsibility for their team. And I don't want to forget about them. I don't want to say, oh, you're doing a great job and that's it, because they are doing a great job. And even they need to have someone to help them move up to the next level, and working with those teams to build them up even more into a high performance team. You know, sometimes leaders or business owners get tied into their business so tightly that they lose the flexibility of having their own life. And so being able to take those great teams and make them into high performance teams that can be self-managing, to give that owner some freedom so that they can have more of a life of their own and not be controlled by the business, is also very important. So, when we talk about leaders that are lacking, I want to emphasize there are beautiful leaders out there who are strong and they can still benefit from having a coach.
Absolutely. It's daily personal and professional growth for all. If we're not growing, we're standing still. And that's not what we're talking about. So thank you for that extra addition. Well, Candace, is there anything else that you'd like to share that you're working on or want to talk about?
I spend every day in some element of personal growth for myself. I am in the process of releasing in a online audio course for people who want to grow in and of themselves in a deeper way. Maybe they want to become more independent or build their self-image within. You know, we can't give to others what we don't already have, and we can't outperform how we see ourselves. And there's a lot of things that control us, belief systems that we've developed over our life that define who we are. Decisions that are made by us, the opportunities that we see around us, are all controlled by this belief system that we have within us. So having an opportunity to explore deeper into ourselves and who we are and what how the world runs with natural laws, universal laws, what those look like. We're in the world and those laws apply to us as well, and becoming aware of what those natural laws are that God's put into place and makes life easier for us when we can understand how the rules work, how those impact us, then life becomes a little bit easier, a little bit more predictable. We can increase our own personal awareness of the belief systems we've picked up along the way that we just took as face value fact, and maybe they're not really the truth, and maybe there's more. So I love to work with people to help them grow in that capacity and to be able to raise their level of awareness of who's and who they are and how they can work with their mind, body, and soul to become a better person and a bigger person.
As your coach, I would love to spend time with you to just help you become more aware of who you are and how you can reach your goals in all areas of your life. Would you give me the honor to have that conversation with you? Just let's have a conversation and talk about where you are, what you're doing in your life. Private message me or go to CandaceMae.com, Candace, CandaceMae.com, and send me a note. Let me know what's happening with you. We can have a call and discover time together and see where we go from here. I really look forward to helping you become all that you can be, transforming your life into everything you want it to be.
Thank you. I can think of no better way to end that than with what you just said there. So I want to thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks.
You're most welcome. I so enjoyed speaking with you, and I know that you have added value to the listeners. And I also want to thank our listeners. I am blessed each and every time that you tune in. So please follow me so you don't miss any upcoming episodes, and connect with me at KimberlyHambrick.com. I'd really love to hear your feedback. And until next time, let's leave the frustration and take the cannoli.
Bye.